ear. Hell's full of people that could quote some Bible verses about Jesus. Right. Amen. Amen. Hell's full of people, Brother Travis, that knew that that he died on an old rugged cross for their sin, and they knew that he rose from the dead the third day. They knew that he had disciples, and they knew that he is relationship with the church. They knew all these things, but they never knew him. As far back as I can remember, I've never doubted in the existence of God or Jesus. I mean, as far back as I can remember, as a little baby, as a little child, amen, I've always been taught about Jesus and have always been a believer in the Bible and have always believed in the gospel. I've always never believed nothing else. But I wasn't saved till I was 20 years old. I went from knowing about him to knowing him. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning, don't settle for nothing less than that. Don't settle for just information. Information in the head, but your heart empty of God. Amen. You need to make sure you know him really. Know him. Is it real to you this morning? Do you know that you're saved this morning? Our world and our churches are filled with people that profess to be saved. They claim to be saved. But their life hasn't changed. Well, I appreciate that song. I can relate to that song. Amen. I don't know who wrote that song, but I could have wrote that song. Or whoever wrote it could have wrote that about me. Are you listening? Because you're looking at someone that has been changed. I noted this. Are y'all listening? I noted that that song did not say, I changed. That's what reformation will say. That's what straightening up and turning over a new leaf and changing some of your habits. You know, I've changed. No, I got changed. I've been changed. That's right. The transforming power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The miraculous new birth brings in a miraculous manifested new life. No new life, no new Lord. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Did I say that? And if I happen to say it 1,000 more times in this service, I will mean it every time. I'm glad I am saved. I'm glad I'm not on that old road and old path, living that old life and serving that old master. I'm glad that's history. It's history. There was a time that it was a fact. And it's still a fact, but it's a history fact. It's not a present fact. I've been changed. I've been changed. I've been newborn. I've got a new master. I've got a new Lord. I've got a new life. I've headed in a new direction. I've got a new land that I'm headed toward, and it's called home. It's called heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. In fact, I've never met anybody that was saved that wasn't glad of it. Amen. Show me somebody that being saved is a little small part of their life. I'll show you somebody that's probably not saved. God has never saved anybody and allowed his salvation, his new life, his purpose, and his will for their life to remain a little small speck somewhere back in the background of your life. Oh, no. And our churches are filled across the land with people like that. Amen. You can tell by the way they live and the way they talk, salvation is no big deal to them. Salvation is no big deal to them. Oh, they claim it. Some will claim it. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Saved, all right. Saved from what? What have you been saved from? Could you tell me that? I mean, if you're still in it, you haven't been saved from it. If you're still in sin, you hadn't been saved from sin. And Jesus Christ, the Bible said in Matthew 1:23, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I mean, if you'll just take that one simple truth right there, one simple verse right there, that right there ought to show you a lot about whether you're saved or not. A person that's still living on the broad road doesn't have the narrow road life. That's right. You can be turning there. I don't know if how much I want to get there, but in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter number 7, I was planning to preach something else this morning, and you know how usually, or I do anyway, before I get up, I'll wake up two or three times, but every time I'd wake up, Matthew 7 was on my mind. When I woke up finally to get up this morning, it was really on my mind, Matthew 7, and in my heart. And, of course, I had a conversation with the Lord about it, and the Lord, I'm not really ready for that. I want to preach this right here, But the Lord said, no, this right here is what I want. I said, Lord, what you want is what you get. Whether I'm ready or not, we're going to just go with it and trust the Lord with it. But what's on my heart this morning is to focus on the broad road. The focus on the broad road. Let's start our reading in Matthew 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse number 20 can be used greatly in your life and mine about your salvation, whether you are or whether you're not saved. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I believe in context, if you're on the narrow road, there'll be fruit of it. I believe if you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, I believe there will be fruits that confirm that and prove that. Nobody on the narrow road has broad road fruit. Come on. Y'all might be seated right here. Nobody on the narrow road has broad road fruit. Nobody on the broad road has real, genuine, narrow road fruit. And it comes down, and I know verse 15 and following, it starts dealing with false prophets. That looks to be that he's changed gears from the two paths, false path, now to false prophet. But he's not changing gears because most people today are not on the narrow road because of the preaching they're listening to. They're setting under false preaching. They're setting under preachers that will not preach to them the word of God about sin. Amen. And you'll never want to be saved until you realize what sin is and the future of that sin and the destructivity of that sin. Isn't that right? Amen. I thought about this morning, which preacher would you want to set your family under? If I had a rattlesnake up here in a box, and I don't and never will, thank the Lord. Amen. And if there's one anywhere in my vicinity, if I can have anything to do with it, it will be a dead snake. That's the only good snake, dead snake. I hate rubber snakes. I hate live ones, big ones, small ones. I hate them all. I hate all snakes, don't you? Say amen right there. But anyway, I've got on that and forgot about what I was going to say, amen. But if I had a rattlesnake in the box up here, now which kind of a person would you want to set your family under? And of course, that snake is a lot like sin, amen. The hiss of the snake is even in the word sin, amen. Would you want a preacher that talks about what a lovely pet this would make, and this snake right here will make your life feel good, and this you'll have a better attitude, and this philosophy and feel good preaching that you hear today? Or would you want somebody to step up here and say and point out this snake here is deadly? This snake here is not your friend. This snake right here, you cannot pet on it. It will bite you at some point along the way, and it cares nothing about you. It cares only about itself. Would you want that feel good, make it a pet type preaching? Or would you want a preacher that would tell you the truth and expose the snake to be what it is? Amen. You want a doctor to tell you the truth, your mechanic to tell you the truth. Amen. You want everybody to tell you the truth. But when people come to church, they want a preacher to soft pedal and to, you know, just kindly preach in general terms. Amen. But I'm here this morning, I'm going to preach about that broad road. Amen. And it's amazing, I thought about this morning, I don't know if there's no parallel, but isn't it amazing that one of the most famous things of our world is called Broadway? They performed on Broadway. I don't know where that's at or what it is. New York, somewhere up through there probably. Broadway. Isn't that amazing? But then the Bible talks about the Broadway. What about that? I reckon there's some comparisons. I reckon there are some similarities there. The Broadway is definitely of this world. The Broadway definitely is of this world. Well, you note in verse number 13 and 14, you note here that there are, and I just, first of all, I want to talk about both paths in general. I want to talk about, just say some things about the both paths, the straight, the narrow road, the narrow path, the narrow way, and the broad way. I note, first of all, just simply that there's a similarity. There's a similarity. What do you mean? They're both real. Hello? The broad road is real. It's definite. It's not imaginary. The broad road is not imaginary. The broad road is a real path. It is a real life, and it has a real destiny. That both of them are real. Both of them. And you know what? I'm glad to say here, and I can say it, Brother Mark, by example, as he talked in Sunday school this morning, I'm glad I can talk from example that the narrow road, the narrow path, likewise is definite, it is factual, and it is real. In fact, I can testify because I've been on both sides of that. And if you're saved, you've been on both sides of that. If you're here lost today, you only have been on and are on one side of that. You don't know about the new life and the narrow road and the narrow way. You don't know about the being saved part because you haven't been saved. But I want to testify to you from the scripture and from my own life that being saved, the new birth, is as real and factual and definite as my physical birth was. Oh, yes. My physical birth is what put me on that broad road. Amen. My spiritual birth, my new birth, is what put me on the narrow road. But anyway, there are similarities between the two in that they are both definite. Both of them have their own distinct direction, and both of them have their own destiny. Both of them. Let's move on, and let me say this about it. I note not only the similarity between the two, but I notice there's a simplicity. There's a simplicity mentioned or shown to us. What are you talking about, the simplicity? The simplicity is that there's only two paths. It's not like a road map. You know, you see, you have to pull down a road map and open it up and say, okay, I'm here and I want to get there. And there's a zillion different lines and roads and big roads, little roads, amen, interstates and everything else that's going every which direction. And you have to say, now, which one is the best? Which one should I take? Should I go here? Should I go in this direction? But the simplicity presented to us today is that there's only two. Not three, not four, not ten. There's only two. What about that? My goodness. There, really, in light of that, there's no excuse for somebody to miss heaven. I mean, you're either on the narrow road or you're not. There it is. That's simple, isn't it? If you're lost, you're either on, listen, you're either on that broad road or you're not. I'm glad the simplicity here seen is that there's only two paths. Also, I note, Brother Webb, that the simplicity is seen in the illustration of a path. Everybody here can relate to a path or a road or a course. Everybody here can. In fact, hello, that's how you got here this morning. Did anybody drop in here from the sky? Did anybody come through the ceiling? Did anybody just appear? No. You got here this morning as I did. You traveled a path. So everybody here, talking about simplicity, everybody here from the youngest child right on up to the oldest person here, we are familiar with what a path is. So Jesus is talking in terms where you can understand. Saved or lost, you can understand. So the simplicity is talking about there's only two paths. The simplicity is in the fact that he uses a path to illustrate the spiritual truth, a broad path and a narrow path. But also the simplicity is this. Not only is it seen in there's two paths and that there's illustration of a path we can all relate to, but here's another third aspect about the simplicity. All of us are involved in this. It includes all and excludes none. Everybody here, I can safely say this, everybody in this building, this sanctuary, and the sound of my voice, everybody here today is on one or the other path. That makes it simple. That's the simplicity of it. Thirdly, let me just mention quickly about the both of them together. They will never be shared. They're similar in that they both are factual, definite, they both have direction, and they both have a destiny. Amen. There's a simplicity involved, but also it will never be shared. They never will be shared. It's not like Highway 11W right here, a four lane. You have two lanes going, I guess, south, and you have two lanes going north. And you think, okay, that's an illustration of the broad road and the narrow road. And I thought about that this morning. That cannot be. Because those that are going toward Kingsport on 11W, it, yes, is going opposite of the direction of those that's coming from Kingsport toward Rogersville. But here's why the application cannot apply. Those that are headed toward Kingsport are only going in the direction of where the others are coming from. Amen. So the broad road and the narrow road are never parallel. They are never parallel. Amen. Amen, that's right. They are absolute, complete opposites. Oh, yes. They are never shared. They never agree. They're never in common with one another. Amen. They never share interest. Come on now. The two paths never share direction, never shares interest, never shares desire, never shares desire. In fact, they are not close enough to where you can jump back and forth. If they were parallel, the narrow road and the broad road was parallel, like the two directions here on 11W, how many people would turn around and go the other direction whenever they wanted to? And we see people like that all the time. Oh, I'm on the narrow road, but they're going in the direction of the broad road. Amen. Nobody on the narrow road's living a broad road life. Hello. Nobody on the narrow road is living a broad road life. Broad road life is that life, that direction, that life, amen, where the flesh is, where the world is, where the devil is. Amen. There's a reason it's called a broad road. And I'll deal with that in just a moment. But it's never shared. These two paths are never shared. Amen. They have nothing in common. You can't be on both at the same time. You're on either one or the other. And I've been on both. First 20 years of my life, I was on the broad road. I would still be on that broad road had not God done a work in my heart and start showing me the dissatisfaction of the broad road. Showing me that that life of sin is a lot, as I said earlier, a lot of promises, but never fulfilling. Oh yes, it never shared. Not back and forth. Jumping back and forth between the two. Never like that. Amen? Oh, I like this. Lord, give this to me this morning. Being on the narrow road is not just inwardly. You cannot, listen, I'm talking about they're never shared. You cannot be on the narrow road, which is the life of the saved. That's where the born-again believers are. That's the path our Lord's walked, amen. And actually, He is the path. He is the path. He's not on the path. He is the path. John 14, 6, I am the way. Jesus is that way. Amen. If you have Jesus, you are on the narrow road. If you have Jesus, you're off of the broad road that leads to destruction. Say amen right there. Oh, yes. And but listen, a lot of people, and I've met several, and you have it no doubt as well, they claim to be on the narrow road inwardly. Oh, I'm saved. But on the outside, the outward life, amen, is still attached to the broad road. That also is false. That is not right. Amen. God, yes, on the inside, God saves your soul, amen, regenerates your spirit, makes you alive, amen, whereas you were dead in trespass and sin, He makes you alive unto Him, amen. And I want to say that that affects the outward. That affects the outward. And I know you won't hear that much preached. And I mentioned it Wednesday night that there is an enormous amount of preaching about a Christianity that excludes the body. But I want to tell you, this Bible from which I'm preaching from and have studied for these many years, I want to tell you, this Bible says nothing about a salvation and a Christianity that excludes the outward body, the fleshly body. Amen. Amen. If you're saved on the inside, it'll show up on the outside. Yeah, yes, I can say my flesh is not saved yet. Hello? God has redemptive plans for my body. Hello? When God furnishes redemption and salvation, it is complete. Body, soul, and spirit. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm on the narrow road this morning, inwardly. I'm glad I'm on the narrow road outwardly. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't want to keep it closed up and hid on the inside that I'm saved, but live like I'm lost on the outside just so people won't know. No, I want you to know that I'm saved. I don't want to close it up and confine it and conceal it. No, no, I want it to be revealed that I am a born-again child of God. If you ask me after the service, are you saved? I will not blush. Ask me personally, privately, are you a born-again Christian? I hope that you've got time for me to tell you about it. I won't get defensive. Well, that's personal. That's just between me and God. No, I will readily, quickly, personally, on the spot say, yes, I'm saved. And be glad of it. A person that says they're saved, but seemingly they make a lot of effort to hide it. Seem like they make a lot of effort to keep it silent. I don't think I would trust that 5 minutes to be the real deal. Hey, man. Hey, man. I'm not ashamed of who I am, who my daddy was on the physical realm. I never one time somebody come up to me and say, are you the son of Don Rackley? I never one time said, yes, but don't tell nobody. No. I said, yes, sir, or ma'am, either one, whoever it is, ask it. I said, yes, this Don Rackley's my daddy. He's my daddy. Amen? And if you've got a heavenly father, I want to tell you, you're not going to be ashamed of him. You will, listen, desire to please him, honor him. You won't try to just say, okay, I'm saved on the inside and I'm going to heaven, but on the outside, I'm going to live a broad road life. On the outside, I'm going to live a wicked life. On the outside, I'm going to flirt with sin. That is not the heart and the desire of a believer. A true born-again believer, when you get saved, God saves your desires. You've heard me make this statement before. I still smoke all the dope I want. I still drink all the Bud Dummer and Miller Lowlife that I want. Some of you looking at me a little funny. The key there is I'm doing all of it that I want. But the thing of it is, January the 20th, 1981, you need to remember that date, because that's the date that I went from old to new. That's the day that I went from dead to life. That's the day that I stepped out of darkness and came into light. That's the day that I was born again. Hallelujah. January 20th, 1981. Amen. And I'm glad to be saved this morning. Amen. And coming with that salvation, Brother Travis, was a desire. Twofold, negative and positive. There was a desire that came in with my salvation, Brother Carroll, to not do those things that I used to do. And positive, the desire came in, Sister Hayes, that I want to do those things that please the Lord. I want to go to church. Nobody twisted my arm this morning. I do not have cuffs on my ankles or upon my wrist. Nobody had to reprimand me this morning and say, you need to go to church. No, I want to be here. Amen. I want to be here. Amen. I want that. I want the Bible. I want this life. This, amen. How can I have this life and not want this life? And there's many that say they have this life, but they don't seemingly want this life. They look for everything to get in the way, and priorities, and they move church down, and they move other things up, and they move God from top priority. Amen. Somewhere down on the list. No, if you have this life, the desire is of your heart. I want this life. I want to walk this path. I want to talk the talk and walk the walk. I want to live this life. It's a wonderful life. Like I said, I've been on both sides. I know what the broad road's like. But soon to be 36 years, I will have been on the narrow road. And I'm not just preaching, I'm testifying the truth. There's no comparison. I wrote this down this morning. I meant to deal with it a little bit later on. It's just going every which way. But the broad road have no natural exits. You can't just go down the road and say, the broad road that's leading to destruction, it's almost like it's walled in. There's no exits. There's no natural exits. Amen. There may be one that looks like an exit, but it's called Reformation Boulevard. You think, well, that's what I need. I need to straighten up. I need to just quit cursing. I need to quit drinking, smoking dope, and popping pills, and gambling, buying lottery tickets. I just need to quit that. And you take that exit thinking, oh, this is the exit that's going to get me off. But when you exit off, it's a dead end. There's no exit there. You're still on the broad road. You may go on down the road, and there's another one that seems to be an exit. It's Religious Avenue. And you say, I know what I need. I just need to be baptized. I need to join the church. I need to start reading my Bible. I need that. That's what I need. And so you take Religious Avenue, and you get off there thinking, well, this is my exit. This will get me off the broad road, but find out, dead end, just like the other. The only thing that can get you off of the broad road is the same similar thing that got you on the broad road. You got on the broad road through a birth, and you get off the broad road through a birth. You were born on it, and you have to be born again off of it. Amen. That's the only way. Education cannot get you off. Amen. You can't get off of it any other way. You've got to be, and that's why Jesus said of his own mouth, of his own lips, you must be born again. Amen. That's good, ain't it? I think so anyhow. The broad road. What does it mean? The broad road means a wide, listen to the meaning of the word Broadway. The broad road, the Broadway. It is wide, plenty of room, spacious. You know why so many people love the broad road? And by the way, come on, if you're saved and you've been on that broad road, amen, everybody that's been saved is saved, has been on that broad road. Can we say that we loved it when we was on it? There was pleasure in sin while we were on it? Nobody'd be on it if it wasn't. If it didn't have some pleasure on it, if it didn't have some kind of fun on it, there would be nobody on it today. But I want to say that the word broad means spacious. Most people, Brother J.R., wants that broad road life because there's plenty of room for you to do whatever you want to do. See, versus the narrow road, it's so narrow and it's so tight that there's not a whole lot of room for you to do whatever you want to do. It is that you have room to do what God wants you to do and fulfill His purpose. But see, that broad road life is, I don't want nobody telling me what to do. I don't like these constraints, and I don't like this narrow boundaries. I like that spacious life. Amen, if I want to do, I'll do. If I don't want to do, I won't do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's that broad road life. It's that direction of rebellion. I love the spacious direction. I love that no real direction, just kind of going with the flow. Amen. That's why a lot of sinners will quickly reject the gospel, is because they love that life. And that's why I said earlier, nobody will get saved that loves the sinful life. God, listen, God must work in your heart. And by the way, if you're here lost and you're already seeing, whether you've told it, whether you've mentioned it, confessed it, admitted it or not, but you're starting to see the emptiness of your sin. You're starting when you pillow your head at night and realize, you know, I've been doing all of this for these many years. I've tried this and I've tried that. I've went here, I've went there, and nothing seems to fill that emptiness on the inside. Nothing seems to plug up that vacuum on the inside that says more. I need more. That didn't do it. Give me something else. That don't do it. Give me more of that, you know. And every lost person has a vacuum on the inside. That's the only way I can describe it. Amen. And you can pour into it and throw into that vacuum what you think will seal it up and content it, and you'll have peace after that. Amen. You do that, and guess what? It just keeps sucking. It just keeps saying, no, that didn't do it. That didn't do it. You know why? Because that vacuum on the inside is a perfect match with the Creator. And when the Creator comes in, He perfectly plugs up the hole of that vacuum, and you have contentment and you have joy, and there's no longer a desire in you that says, I want the world, and no longer a desire in you that says, I want this and that, that the world has. Why? Because Jesus is the one that satisfies it. But a lot of people want that broad road life because it's spacious. There's a lot of room on it. In fact, I'll tell you how wide it is. It's as wide as the human race. It's as wide as the Adamic race. Everybody that's been physically born in this world is on that road. Amen? All sinners of every description are on that broad road. I want you to listen to me if you're lost here this morning. A lot of times, people that maybe are not involved with drugs and drinking and that immoral lifestyle, they just maybe a good, they're lost, but maybe they're just a good lost person. Maybe they're a church member, you know. They might even have more morals than a lot of people that claim to be saved. I've met some lost people. Far as the way they behaved themselves and conducted themselves, they'd probably make better church members than a lot of people that claim to be saved are making church members. But they're still lost. Because you can't get saved by being good. You can't be saved by doing good. Amen? There's none good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I said all sinners of every description, Brother Brad, is on the broad road. We have several in our church, kids, that are lost. And I want us all, I'm saying it to me, I'm saying it to all of us in here as well as to these kids. You're on the same broad road that the drunk on the street is on. You're on the same broad road if you're lost, never been saved. Amen. You might be 6, 7, 8 years old. It doesn't matter. If you've never been born again, you're on the same broad road that leads to destruction that the drunk on the street, the dope head, the murderer, the thief, the liar, amen, the sodomite, all of those and many more that we could name, listen, is on the same road. So I don't want you young people to think, I don't need to be saved because I hadn't drank a beer, and I don't need to be saved because I hadn't killed anybody, I hadn't robbed a bank. I don't need to be saved because. No, you need to be saved because here's the truth. All on the broad road are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's broad. It's a broad road. Amen. Let me move on. I got to hurry. I was getting up here thinking, I don't know about this, Lord. Let's come and faster than I can get it out. I like that, though. Listen to this. I wrote this down this morning. The broad road is dangerous because the mentality of the broad road is this. Everybody else is doing it. That's one of the attitudes that's on the broad road. Right? In fact, the whole human race is on it at one point. I'm not on it no more because I got saved. And if you're saved, you're not on it. But I was on it. Amen? And if you're not careful, you can get into that, well, everybody else is living this way, and everybody else is talking this way, and everybody else is going here, and everybody else is doing that. And amen? We've got an epidemic, friend, of drugs in Hawkins County. Epidemic. I'm talking about epidemic. People's losing their home, their children, their marriage, everything. Losing their jobs, everything. Falling to pieces because of an addiction to a pill or an addiction to some other substance. Isn't that the truth? They would probably, if they could, those that have already gone, they've already lost, they're died. Every one of them would love to have been sitting in this service this morning and said, "Preacher, boy, I wished I'd have heard that years ago." Not only do I wish I'd have heard that, but I wished I would have heeded that. I wish I'd had a preacher that would have told me about the snake. Wouldn't have made it to look like a pet and no problem and no threat, but that would have told it for what it was and used every adjective and description possible to make the snake look as bad, sound as bad as you possibly can. Brother Mike, if that same snake illustration, if I spent 20 minutes talking about how pretty it was and how nice it was and how pleasant it was and never say nothing negative about it, you know what your children would be in danger of doing? Coming up here and sticking their hand in the box. "Oh, come on, Mom, can I go play with that? Preacher says it's not bad." He didn't. Of course, the preacher didn't say anything about the poison and the venom and didn't say anything about the fangs and the mouth and didn't say anything about the death and didn't say anything about those things. All he said, "Look at it. Isn't it nice? Got two eyes and a tail. Colored up nice. It comes with its own little rattler. Ain't that nice?" But if I spent 20 minutes pointing out everything bad about it, not only would you parents say, "You're not going up, you're not getting around that box. You heard what the preacher said." Amen. The broad road, listen, the broad road has the mentality on it. Look, in fact, you can look to your left. As far as you can see, there's people doing everything under the sun. Look to your right. As far as you want to look, there's people doing everything under the sun. And if you're not careful, you'll say, "You know what? Everybody else is doing it. I'm going to do that too." That's why the broad road is destructive and dangerous, is because you get caught up in looking at people. Listen, if everybody was jumping off a cliff, would you think that would be a good idea? Would you say to your friends, "Come on, hey, they're all going over here and jumping off this bridge. They're going over here and jumping off this cliff. Let's go do that. Everybody else is doing that." No, the wise person would step up and say, "Wait a minute. Let's not focus on the jump. Let's look at the landing. Let's not look at the jump and who's jumping and where they're jumping and the direction they're jumping. And by the way, anybody that does that jumping is not jumping up, they're jumping down. They're going in a downward direction. Let's look at the end result. Let's look at the conclusion of the matter." But no, the devil won't ever point you out the splatter of sin. No, the devil doesn't ever paint that picture, does it? Come on now. You know, you've seen enough commercials. You've seen enough billboards. You've went through the checkout line and seen enough magazines in the rack to know the devil never paints the conclusion and the consequences. He shows the jumping and the woo-hoo-hoo, like they're having a time, but doesn't show the sudden stop at the end. Are y'all listening? Amen. You better beware of peer pressure, doing what your friends do. Now, I'll be friendly. Listen, I'll be friendly. And here's where I draw the line, and this is good preaching, and this is good principles for you to practice. I draw the line. I'll be a friend. Listen, I'll be a friend to anybody. When we have my class reunion, whenever it comes up for 50 years, or it seems like 50 years, when they have my class reunion, it's absolutely possible, I'm going. Are y'all listening? I'll be a friend to them. I'll get in there and we'll talk about playing football and old times and all that. I'll be a friend to them. But you know where I draw the line? It's when their friendship starts influencing me to change. When I start switching Sister Hayes from being friendly to being friend-like, that's when you draw the line. Amen. Be a friend to them and help them in any way to pick them up, lead them to Christ, influence them for the gospel. Show them that the narrow road far surpasses the broad road. Yes, show them that being saved is not a negative life compared to the lost life. Show them that it's the greatest life. It's the best life. It's filled with joy and peace and contentment. Yes, show them that. But always be on the guard. When you start seeing your desires and your thoughts start to become friend-like, they're influencing you instead of you influencing them. Amen. And you ought to be strong enough. Listen, I'm preaching to myself and everybody here. You ought to be strong enough in your convictions and your commitment to the Lord to where you'll be unwilling, as Miss Kaylee sung, be unwilling to change from being changed. Unwilling. Amen. Amen. Draw you some boundaries. The narrow road's got boundaries. If you're wanting a Christian life that doesn't have any kind of boundaries, you're looking in vain. The broad road has boundaries. It's just so far and wide that you can do whatever you want to do and you never really think about it. In fact, you probably won't ever even really get close to the boundaries because the broad road will say, listen, come on now, this is good right here. The broad road, Miss Brooke, will never say, don't do that. The broad road will never have a boundary that'll say, no, stop. You're going too far with that. The broad road has boundaries, but you probably won't ever get around them because it is so broad that you'll probably never get to the boundaries. But the narrow road's got boundaries. I tell you how narrow it is. It's so narrow that there's no room to turn around and go the other direction. Praise God. I like that. Yeah, amen. It's so narrow there's no U-turn signs. And there's definitely no exits off of that road either, amen? Well, I didn't even hardly get started this morning. But everybody else is doing it. It's wide as Adam's race. The world, flesh, and devil is fully active on the broad road. Amen. And listen to this. Lord, give this to me. And you'll probably have to meditate on this a little bit. It's a lot wider than it is long. It's a lot wider than it is long. How many times you've read in the news, heard in the news, or maybe know personally, people that was living that big life. Oh, live that big life. That's what the broad road says. Live that big life. But then all of a sudden, that big life ends in their 20s. Wasn't too long, was it? It was wide. It was broad, but it wasn't too long, was it? How many have lived that broad road life thinking, wow, man, this is it? And then their life is over at 17. Are y'all listening to the preacher? I'm telling you, it may not all be laid out like I wanted it to this morning. And I like to study when I get to pulpit, be ready. But I want to tell you, I'm willing to step out by faith this morning, preach what God said. Listen, God, send this message this morning about the broad road life. It'll never be your friend. It has never been a friend to anybody. Amen. It's broader than it is long. Listen, young people, please hear that. I'm telling you, I've never thought of that before. God gave that to me this morning. It's broader, it's wider than it is long, because that's the focus the devil wants you to get on. Wow, look at all of this space, and look at all this, man, look at this crowd, this multitudes of people all around me, and they're all having this hoorah time, and they're all doing what I'm doing, and I'm doing what they're doing. He wants you to focus around you, but not where you're headed. It's wider than it is long. Amen. Oh, I just thought about this, Brother Carroll. The narrow road's right the opposite. It's longer than it is narrow. It's a narrow road, but my goodness, you can't even see the end of it. because it is forever. Hallelujah. Amen. And here's something else. Write it down if you want to in your mind and heart at least. Nobody is recommending the broad road. Oh, no, wait a minute. At the first, when they first get on it, and the first, maybe the first few experiences, and the first little bit of pleasure, Brother Brad, that they've experienced on that, oh, they might call up their friend, hey, you need to try this. Hey, you need to do this. Hey, come over to the party Friday night. We recommend this broad road life. But let's travel to the other end of it. Brother Kyle, let's all go to this other end of it. Let's get a microphone if we could. And let's interview some people on the other end of it. You say, are there any to interview? Oh, yeah. They're all in the same place. They're all in hell. Would you like to interview some of those? Would you like to hear some of those recommendations? Would anybody there say, oh yes, it was the best choice I ever made to stay on the broad road? Oh man, I'm glad that I lived my whole life partying. I'm glad I lived my whole life chasing the wild and the empty dreams. No, everybody in hell regrets every step of the broad road. Everybody on the other end, on the first of it, on the beginning of it, and at times through it, there'll be people pat you on the back and say, man, I've never seen nobody drink like you can drink. I've never seen nobody dance like you can dance. I've never seen nobody smoke dope like you can. I've never seen anybody do this or that like you can. Oh yeah, pat you on the back. But go to the end of the journey, see if there's any recommendations. In fact, there is one recommendation. And we have a live report of that from hell. In Luke 16, and here's the recommendation. Somebody go tell my five brothers, go tell them not to come here. The only recommendation of hell, the only recommendation on the broad road, my friend, is coming at the other end, and it is don't come here. Don't come here. Stop, sinner, stop. Stop, sinner, stop. Don't come here. And though I preach that and I expose that, yet the devil will slip up on your shoulder even while I'm preaching and say, hey, you can do that some other time later on. But right now, focus on the wine, women, and song. Right now, focus on the pleasure. Right now, focus on the fact that you're wanting to be popular. Right now, focus on the possessions that you're really trying to get hold of in your life. And before you know it, that conviction that's gripping your heart that you know you need to be born again, you know the devil's lying to you, you know you need to be saved, the devil will try to alter that by whispering in your ear and saying, well, you can do that later. You're just a young boy or girl. You're young in life. You don't have to worry about that right now. After all, I mean, you're young and healthy. Are y'all listening? Are y'all listening? When I read the headlines of somebody that was a real notable and real popular in the sinful world, they died. I wonder what kind of recommendation would they give of the broad road life. One died just this past week, 34 years old, lived her whole life in putrefying sin. I wonder if she would love to be on the pew where you're at this morning, listening to preaching about the broad road that leads to destruction. Oh, but while she was here and her lifestyle, oh yeah, oh the world was praising her. Oh yeah, oh the world was praising her. But she's in hell right now by her own lifestyle. You say, preacher, you don't know if she's saved or not. You cannot live a wicked, ungodly life that she lived all of her life, noted for that, and be saved. You'll never live long enough to convince me of that. But I know she would love to be in this service this morning and have an opportunity to hear the truth. In fact, she'd love to be in this service this morning and have the microphone for about 5 minutes and give her recommendation. Her recommendation would be, don't do as I've done. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to that false promise of dreams of the world, living the American dream. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Get saved. Listen to the preacher. That's what she would say. Rock stars, movie stars, dying at early ages, young ages in their life, live their whole life for fame and fortune. I wonder if they would love to give a recommendation this morning. Nobody, listen now. Nobody, not one in hell would say, stay on that broad road. It'll be good for you. And when you get to where we're at, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a time. Yeah, AC/DC made a big song about it. Highway to hell. No stop signs, no speed limits. Man, we're going to have a time. Are y'all listening? And the very one of that group that wrote that song, if I'm not mistaken, died, was it the next day? Listen, wrote that song. He went to hell. Listen, I think right after the first performance of it or something. I mean, it was right there quick. What if we could pull him up? I can't even recall his name right now. I'd like to pull him up. And hey, take the microphone and talk to us about 5 minutes. Is there any stop signs and speed limits? And is everybody down there laughing? Do you know what one noise you'll never hear in hell? You'll never hear nobody laugh in hell. Never. You know why? There's no enjoyments there. There's no water there. There's no rest there. There's no fun there. And there's never an escape. You better believe I'm glad when I say it. I am glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. The only regret I ever have of being saved, Brother Webb, I wished I'd have done it earlier in life. Instead of saying I got saved at 20, I wish I could say I got saved at 8 or 9. Wish that. Brother Ron got saved, what was it, 70 or 71? 71 years old. Raise your hand, Brother Ron. Right there. Brother Ron got saved right over there at 71 years old on a Sunday afternoon here at the church. Brother Ron, do you wish you got saved when you was a teenager or even earlier? Are y'all listening? Missed out a lot. How many times have I heard, and you've probably heard people say, man, after they get saved, oh my goodness, if I'd have knew it would have been this good. Wow, if I'd have knew what that preacher was saying and what mama was telling me and what grandma was shouting about, if I knew all that was the real deal, man, I'd have got saved a long time. You know why? You didn't believe that it was the real deal? The devil's whispering them lies in your ear, amen, and you was believing that. And you're focusing on the pleasure and focusing on the popular and the prosperous and all of that. My, my. Well, I didn't even get nowhere hardly where I thought, but that's good. I hadn't preached like that in a while. The masses is there. The manipulation of the broad road. You know what word stuck out to me real big this morning? Leadeth. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That word leadeth means to carry away, lead away, to take off. Doesn't sound like you're in control, does it? Doesn't sound like you're the one in control. If you're here lost, doesn't sound like you're the one in control. No, the broad road is leading you. You're not changing it. As it starts, so shall it continue. It starts out a broad road. It will continue to be a broad road and ends up being the broad road that leadeth to destruction. You say, preacher, I'm lost. What direction? Where am I going? You're being led to destruction. The same word is used twice in Matthew 27 about Jesus Christ, and they led him. They led him to a place called Calvary. They led him. Of course, he knew where he was going. He came for that purpose. But the point there, the illustration is, he was being led. And Isaiah 53 talks about him being led as a lamb to the slaughter. Again, that was Jesus' purpose for being here. But that same word, Brother J.R., leadeth is in our text here. The broad road leadeth to destruction. You know what? Just like they were leading Jesus. Of course, that was a positive there because that was his purpose and we're saved because of that. But the same usage is used here in our text, leadeth. The broad road, Brother Brian, come here just a second. The broad road is leading. I know it doesn't have its hands on you, but it's leading. You're following the course. You're following the current. You're following the direction, see? I'm not pulling him. I'm leading. He's following. He's simply following until all of a sudden, the end is what? Destruction. You think you're doing your own thing? Brother, did y'all notice that Brother Maury down this path of following me, he had the choice of stopping. He had the choice of saying, I'm not going that direction. I'm not following you. You're not leading me. I'm not following that. He had the choice to turn around. He had the choice to do that. But he didn't. You know what he kept doing? He just kept following. Or could I use the word, he just kept being led. If you're here lost, that's what's going on in your life. You're thinking, man, I am having a time. Who was it? Leonard Skinner wrote the song years ago, Free Bird. Oh, man, I am just flying high and flying free. Man, I am just having the time of my life. But you're being led. No, preacher, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm just doing what I want to do. No, you're being led. The Bible says that the path you're on is leading you, meaning you're following. Goodness. The manipulation of this path. We talked about the meaning, the masses, the managing or the manipulation of this. And by the way, can I say this? You won't change the broad road. You won't change it, nor will you want to. I added that this morning. A lost person will not want to change the broad road because you love it. Listen to me. I'm trying to find a spot here to hush. Everybody that goes to hell will very likely have a smile on their face. And I would have. You know why? Because my old depraved nature loved sin. I made a profession. Y'all have heard my testimony. Some of you haven't. Listen, when I got saved at 20, I had made a profession when about 8 or 9. And I had people to tell me that night, one relative in particular had that night that I got saved and told the church, I got saved, 20 years old. She said, no, you've been saved. You didn't get saved tonight. You've been saved all these years. You know what my response was? You probably said as good as I can, but I'm going to say it. I told her, I said, no, ma'am. I was respectful. She wasn't too respectful, but I was respectful. I said, no, ma'am. I didn't get saved when I was 8 or 9. I got saved tonight. And here's why I didn't get saved and I wasn't saved before tonight. Everybody listening up, I said I loved sin too much to be saved. I loved it. That's why you can't hardly get a person saved off that broad road, Brother J.R. Listen, you can't hardly get nobody saved off of there if they love it. God has to start doing a regenerating work, a convicting work. God has to start pulling and cutting, and God has to start dealing with you, amen. You may not know what in the world's going on in your life, but if you're thinking, man, this is not fun anymore. I don't enjoy this no more. I'm empty, and this is miserable. Guess what? That didn't come from the broad road preachers. That come from the Holy Spirit, amen, starting to deal with your heart and to show you that you need the Lord, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. 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 Oh, yes. The managing of it. My goodness. And then the merciless end of it. No escape, no enjoyments, no encouragements, no second chances. Everybody in hell wish they'd... In fact, everybody in hell's repented and still repents. But it's no good. Repentance is no good in hell. Everybody in hell's got faith now. Everybody in hell knows the truth about sin now, but it's all, here's two big words, too late. Too late. Eternity's too long to be wrong. Oh, I got this, preacher. I can handle it. I'll get saved one day. How many in hell intended on getting saved? You said, preacher, you sound like you expected somebody to get saved this morning. You got it. When the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart this morning about going in this direction with this passage and deal with the broad road, I said, oh boy, God, you don't send a message just to be sending it. You've got somebody in mind. Lord, you're preparing the path. There's somebody to get saved this morning. I'm expecting it. Amen. If you're here lost, you know what your desire ought to be? Preacher, I want off this broad road. I'm sick and tired of my life. I hate the misery. I hate the emptiness. I hate the fact the devil is leading me to destruction. Amen. I hate it. I want to get saved. Why, preacher? Because I want joy. I want peace and contentment. I want purpose in my life. Hey man, I don't want to waste my youth. I don't want to waste my life with things that really is going to turn out to be a negative in my life, because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I don't want that. I want to give myself to that which will count. Oh my goodness. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. And if you're here this morning, you're lost. If you never hear no preaching ever again in your life, I want to tell you, you've heard this morning the truth. There is the broad road. It is a fact. It is a definite path. And the end of it is still the same. It leadeth to destruction. But I didn't have time to preach it this morning because I didn't feel like that's what the Lord wanted me to emphasize. But I think I would be a failing in this message if I didn't at least say this. There is an alternative path. It's not just the broad road, period. There's an option. Hallelujah. There is an option. There is another, and it's called the narrow path. Oh, yes. Hello. It's leading to. It uses the same word. I did look that up this morning. Same word. Leadeth to life eternal. Wow. I believe I like that destiny a lot better than the destruction. When I was lost, I was headed for hell, Brother Craddock. But now I'm saved. Are y'all listening? I'm headed for life eternal. God, amen. I'm saved. I've got eternal life. Thank God I'm going to spend forever with Jesus. Glory. You don't, can I say, Ms. Paulson, you'll go ahead. Come to the piano and get ready for the invitation. Can I say this? If you're here lost, you do not have to die and go to hell. You may be on the broad road. Listen, I'm going to preach a little bit right here, right before the invitation. You may be on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. But just like I illustrated with Brother Brian, just because you're on that broad road, and by the way, listen up, everybody on the broad road is going in the same direction. Everybody's being led in the same direction. They're being propelled in that direction with pleasure and popularity and things of that nature. But I want to say this clearly. The Lord just brought it to my heart right there just a minute ago. Your will is not disengaged. You're not like a robot. You're not like a robot. When Brother Brian stood up there a minute ago, I didn't reach around here and wind him up, you know, and punch a few buttons, and he comes through here following me like this, you know. No, no. You've seen him. You've seen him. All I said was, I don't remember now if I said follow or I want to lead you or whatever. And I just started heading in that direction. Here he comes. That wasn't against his will. His will was complying. If you're here lost, you're not a robot. you are responsible for the direction you're going in.